If you open your Bibles, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Living on earth with our hearts in heaven is easier said than done. This morning we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe will help motivate us about our one hope. During our meeting not long ago, Brother Ed spoke about this passage, and he covered pretty much the whole chapter there. We're going to concentrate on just the first four verses. We're going to look at it a little more in depth about how this passage can become one of your favorite passages. It can become one of your favorite passages to motivate you in your service to the Lord. We'll read the passage first. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. This morning, as we look at this passage, I think you'll find that this is a very simple text, but a very motivational text. I don't know about you, but I think there are things of this life that discourage us. There are things that depress us. There are things that occupy us. There are things that distract us from the main thing. The main thing is to always keep the main thing the main thing. And do we know what that is? It's going to heaven. So this morning, as we study this passage, I hope that each of us will be motivated to keep the main thing the main thing. If you'll notice in this text, he begins by saying, if then you have been raised up with Christ. I think this is not a question of whether or not you are, but it would be like saying, since you have been raised up with Christ. When you go back to chapter 2 of this particular text, you find in verses 12 and 13, Paul says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And then you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. In verse 20, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees? And he goes on and talks about a number of examples. My point being, when we look at this chapter 3, it is in the midst of the context of saying, as Christians, we claim to have died to sin. We claim to have been buried in Christ. We claim to have been raised up with Christ to walk in newness of life. If then you have been raised up with Christ, does that include you? If you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, this text is talking to us. If then you've been raised up with Christ. He goes on to say, keep seeking things above. It's interesting here, he says, to keep seeking. When one searches for God, Jesus Christ can be found. And when we seek Him, and we find Him, the attitude and disposition that leads us to listen to Him and to obey Him, Paul says, keep seeking things above. by the fact that anyone would seek the Lord, they realize that there has to be something better. There are folks that have been on drugs. There are people that are alcoholics. There are people that live in all sorts of worldly sinful things. And there comes a point in their life, if they want something better, there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life to something better. But you have to desire that in your own heart. No one can make you change. No one can make you do what's right. You have to decide for your own self. You have to make up your own mind to seek things above. And Paul's addressing ones that that's the way they started out. They sought the Lord. They have been risen up with the Lord to walk in this newness of life. He motivates them by saying, just keep seeking the things that are above. Keep seeking. And that is to keep trying to obtain. There is a desire to possess something. There is a seeking for, a striving after, a looking for, a making an effort. Sometimes we don't make a very good effort. Sometimes we don't really have it in our hearts to really put forth the effort. Did you know that according to the Word of God, that sin enslaves us? We are in bondage to sin. And it is only Jesus Christ that can set us free. We have to desire to be set free. We have to want to give it up. We have got to want to do better. There is not a sin that is mentioned in the pages of God's book that doesn't enslave you as long as you want to be enslaved. When you make up your mind that you're going to be free and you seek things above, you can be free indeed. Any man that remains in sin is there by choice. Your own choice. Now, nobody said it was easy. Breaking the shackles of sin is something that you cannot do in and of yourself. You do need God. But you must come to Him with that desire. You must come to Him with that want. You must come to Him knowing that He is the Almighty and that He can set you free. The disciples asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Whatever the sin is that entangles us, whatever it is that has enslaved us, when you get tired and when you understand that God is just, that the devil is whipping you and he is destroying you and he is killing you, when you look to God, when you seek God, He can set you free. Keep seeking things above. For those who are in Jesus Christ, do you remember those old days of sin and bondage? Remember those old days? How horrific they were? How terrible a situation we were in? Do you remember the old man? Keep seeking things above. What a beautiful admonition for us all. In Matthew chapter 6, our Lord, He talked about treasures. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." A treasure that is of this world can be anything. It can be a bottle of alcohol. It can be a woman. It can be a man. It can be your job. It can be all sorts of things. And whatever we treasure, whatever we lust after, whatever we want more than anything, that's where our hearts are. And it's hard to get anybody going in another direction when their heart is set on something that they have treasured. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures here. Don't do that. How does Paul say it? Keep seeking things above. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is so easy to preach. It's so easy to say. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just plain old simple day-to-day living. What is your main thing? Have you figured that out yet? What are you about? Keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. In the book of John, chapter 14, a beautiful passage there, where Jesus speaks concerning ultimately our goal. We've been talking about worship in the auditorium class. Brother Brian mentioned about the juniors and senior high schools are talking about worship this past quarter as well. In the book of John, chapter 14, and beginning of verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Verse 28, the text says, "You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." There's nothing I enjoy anymore, and I think I've told you this before, but I enjoy being at a campsite and late in the evening with a campfire, and you're laid out there either on a blanket or on your chair or something, and you're looking up in the skies and you see all the beauty of heaven with all the stars and so forth. That's just an absolute wonderful thing. That's a peaceful thing to me. It's an enjoyable thing just to look up into God's creation. Is that what this passage is talking about? Stargazing? No, I don't think it is. This passage is talking about looking higher than that. This passage is talking about where Christ is. Jesus said, He's with the Father. The Father is in heaven. And notice where my focus is to be. It's to keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. This morning in our Bible class, we discussed and talked a little bit about heaven and about what we're looking forward to far as heaven is concerned. And there were lots of different answers that were brought up, and all good and good answers that people were trying to say and so forth about heaven and what they look forward to. But you know, ultimately, one thing that motivates us in this life is being around the throne of God, praising God in His presence, knowing that finally there is the protection, there is the promise of no more evil, no more sadness, no more pain, and nothing but joy and peace for eternity. That's what you need to be thinking about when you're in this old world and things are not right. Why is it so difficult for us to think that way? Have you ever heard the comment of a person that they weren't able to walk and chew chewing gum at the same time? You ever heard that comment? Well, what are you saying about that person? They're not multitaskers. What are they? They're dumb. All right. Well, let me ask you. What do you think about all the time? It ought to be a clue to you what you think about all the time by what you say, what you talk about, and what you do. Those round about us understand that a tree is known by its fruit. If we are a people whose mind and heart treasure is in the heavens, and we're thinking about, we're talking about, and we're living our lives because we want to be in heaven with God one day, do you think that people would recognize that in us? Would they see that? Would they hear that? I'm afraid too many of us as Christians, we spend all of our days talking about everything and doing everything there is under the sun without giving very little mention about what the main thing is. How can it be the main thing in our life when we don't talk about it? How can it be the main thing in our lives when we don't walk that way? How can it be the main thing in our lives when it is so difficult for us just to drag ourselves to a worship assembly? How can it be our main thing when we cannot find the time to read the Word of God? How can it be the main thing in our lives when we're not trying to tell others about that great hope? Paul says, if you've been raised up with Christ, you keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not of the things that are on the earth. This word set. One of my greatest fears is waking up on Sunday morning and in the context of here, it would be 9:30. Now, I usually do not ever sleep that late. But my fear is, maybe even a greater fear, I wake up at 10 o'clock. And because I have that as a real fear, I most always set two alarms. There's a third alarm, my wife. She sets an alarm. I keep my phone on because if it was 10 o'clock, I'm hoping that one of our elders or somebody would be calling me, where are you at? So I set my mind by setting my clock to make sure that I don't miss what I'm supposed to do. Now this phrase, set your mind, that's deliberate, that's purposeful, that is intended, it's premeditated, it's a desire that you are going to do something. We might we call that commitment. Set your mind. Make up your mind. Make sure that this is the main thing in your life. When I consider the idea of setting your mind on things above, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he says it this way in verse 17. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Let me just stop there just for a moment. It is so encouraging to see other brethren who have set their mind on things above. Someone mentioned in Bible class about the thing that they're going to enjoy about heaven and that they look forward to in heaven, that they're going to be surrounded by people. Everybody's going to be people that love the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. Everybody around you is going to love the Lord. And everybody around you is there because they want to be there. Did you notice this verse again? "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." One of the great privileges we have as Christians is to be able to look at others of like precious faith and imitate them. We have a number of elderly folks who have their pains and their problems and their issues. And yeah, if you ask them about it, they'll probably tell you about it. But you know they're here. They're here and they're worshiping the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to see our young children enthusiastic about being at church, going to Bible classes, doing a Bible drill, singing out with all of their hearts. Isn't that a great example? Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? And what do we all share in common? What is it that binds us together as a family and as a people? We've made up our minds to seek things above. And we're trying to make that our main focus. In verse 18, "For many walk of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Brother and sister in Christ, not every person that walks through those doors and sits down in one of these blue pews has that goal that we have. There are some that set themselves here, the slaves of the devil. And all they're interested in is this world. I don't know why they're here. I don't know why they come. But you know who they are. They know who they are. And they stand out like a sore thumb. They don't talk like us. They don't act like us. They're not of us. Have you seen them? Have you seen them? You know what this passage says so clearly to me, what I hope it says very clearly to you, that when Paul talks about making that sacrifice, making that ultimate commitment,
I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Our mind must go through this transformation. Our minds must change from thinking worldly to thinking heavenly. And sometimes that's a slow process. Most of us are a work in progress. Most of us are trying to get the devil out of us. Most of us are trying to leave the world behind. But there's all sorts of signs, there's all sorts of signals, there's all sorts of fruit that indicates that God is not our main thing. We will disappoint each other. We will let each other down. Because at times we're not what we ought to be. Paul, in this beautiful passage, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. I don't know how to say that any simpler. That's as simple as it can be said. So here's what I would say. Spouses, parents, the most important thing you can do for your souls is to keep seeking things above. The most important thing you can do for your children is be the example to them. There is no way that we can be hypocritical about that and save anybody else. We must make God the main thing. And whatever's got to go is got to go. If it hinders us from doing that. But now here's the deception. For the longest time, when I was in school, I loved to go to school because I'm a people person. I love people. I love my friends. I love gym. I love going outside and playing ball. I loved lunch. Now, I love going to math, I love going to English, but I didn't care anything about studying, I didn't care anything about preparing for tests, I just loved the social atmosphere. Unfortunately, I had enough brains that I could do that pretty good and make just average kind of grades. When I got my driver's license, there was a motivation. If you made a B average, you could get a discount on your insurance. Since my father made me pay for my own insurance, that was very motivational to me to save money. What I soon learned, that the way I had been going through school, just showing up and being a social party animal and not studying, in order to make a B average, that wasn't cutting it. I had to learn to study, to prepare for a test, actually take a book home, and I used to take a book home every day. I thought it looked good. But I would take it home and lay it down, and the next morning I'd get up, I'd pick it up, and then we'd go back to school. But you had to learn to open up that book. I deceived myself for a long time until I got my report card that I didn't make the B average, I didn't get the discount, and I was mad. And I remember the teacher saying to me when I questioned and said to them, "Oh, I've got to have a B." They said, "You're going to have to start studying." I remember that being such a terrible, judgmental thing that that teacher said. The very idea that I was going to have to do something. I was going to have to get down and start working. The teacher said, "I am not going to give you a grade just because you play ball and just because you're lazy. You're going to have to work for it." Hated that teacher. In fact, I think all of my teachers got together and agreed to say that. Well, I tried to study a little bit, and I tried to prepare a little bit, and I did my homework a little bit, and I actually looked at a book when I went home, and I started making better grades. Are you all getting the point of this? We fool ourselves that we come to church and we kind of make a hit or a lick at the Bible or pray every once in a while, and we have deceived ourselves that it's our main thing and that we are great students. But I think what we're in love with the social atmosphere. We're in love with just coming and hanging around some good people. And not that that's not good, and not that that's not a benefit, but that ain't going to get you to heaven. You have got to understand, to make God your main thing, you're going to have to get serious about serving the Lord. You cannot continue to play church. And we've deceived ourselves into thinking that we can just get by with a little or no effort. This passage says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice he says, your life. Life is very precious. We've got nurses and medical people in this building. You all deal in situations where you deal with life and death. Giving the right medications and having the right procedure and all of that is important to life and death. I don't think I need to emphasize to you all how important life is. But what is your life? Jesus said it's not the things that you possess. It is not the love of this old world. So what is your life? He says, certainly here in this text, that our life is all about our service to our Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 6, and I'll not take the time to read all of this text, but I do want to reemphasize this important point. Notice in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died to sin is freed from sin. Now, I read all that to say this. Just a very simple question for us to think about. John said, the child of the devil is obvious. The child of God is obvious. Paul says here in Romans 6, that we have died to sin and we walk in newness of life? Simple question. How are you different than anybody else out there? How are you different? What makes you different? Is it the way you dress? The way you talk? Where you go? Where you don't go? How you spend your money? How about this? How you spend your life? Each moment, each second. We've been talking now for about 30, 35 minutes. That has cost us 30 minutes of our life. We can never get that back. It's gone. Time is fleeting. Life is short. For if you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, I think the point is, my life is such that I'm so involved with God and so involved with Christ that when people see me, they see Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not Jesus Christ. It's like what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So a person that is dedicated to Christ, a person that really desires to go to heaven, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Remember Paul in Galatians chapter 2? "It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I put away me. I put away what I want. I put away my desires. And I live according to God's will." Lastly, he says, "When Christ is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." I heard Brother Gary Sandusky the other night. He preached, and I've heard him talk about his conversion. He was an older fellow when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said he worked at this plant and said he looked like somebody on drugs because he was. He looked like a drunk because he was. He looked like a heathen because he was. He said, finally somebody talked to him about Christ. He later found out there were members of the church that worked all around him. Not one time had any of those ever said a word to him about the gospel. That's not what hidden means in this text. That nobody knows you're a Christian. If you know Gary Sandusky, he's a very plain and simple fellow. But he ain't going to be in the room 5 minutes. Do you know he's a Christian? And he's going to find out if you're one. That's when you're hidden in Christ. And the beauty of this passage, when the Lord comes back, we're going to know who He is. Will He know who we are? And when He reveals those that are His, there won't be any, "Oh, I didn't know. Oh, they're my neighbor. I didn't know they's a Christian." It's not that kind of life. You see, when you make Jesus Christ the main thing of the main thing, He is your everything. I want to encourage each of us this morning. I can do better to make God my main thing. Can you do better? Can we set our minds on this very simple thing? Can we do a better job of putting to death the old man? Can we do a better job being the new man in Christ? Can we do a better job at that? When are we going to do that? It's crazy hard for me as a person to lose 10 pounds. If I lose 10 pounds, I think I have climbed Mount Everest. I think what's really easy to do, gain 10 pounds. I can go a couple of times to Fish Creel and order a big meal, and I can gain 5 of that just in a couple meals. It can happen. You know how easy it is for you just to pass off what I've said today from this text? And just to go out there and just fill yourself up with all of the stuff there is out there? It's easy. It's easy to do. Do you know how hard it is to sit here and to say, look, he was talking to me today. God is not my main thing. And it's time I realize that. I got to make some changes. I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to be a better child. I'm going to be a better brother in Christ. I'm going to be a better employer. I'm going to be a better employee. I'm going to be Christ-like. I'm going to make some changes. And I'm going to do that now. I'm going to make up my mind now. And I'm going to start serving the Lord. Please, set your mind on things above. That's the only way we're going to get there. The song of encouragement is selected. Heed God's wonderful call. As together we stand and sing.
Christ the Lord.